What I'm going to do is read to you the expanded translation of James chapters 1 through 3. And that will conclude our study of James chapter 3. And we will resume our studies of the book of James on Wednesday evening, starting with chapter 4, verse 1. Here now is the expanded translation of James chapter 1. Introduction. A letter to the Jewish diaspora, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of Israel among the diaspora outside Judea, greetings. Paragraph 1. Encouragement to respond with unalloyed happiness to personal trials and difficulties, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My Jewish brethren, after weighing all the facts, you must consider it nothing but unalloyed happiness whenever you encounter various categories of pressure, knowing through the process of spiritual growth that the testing of your faith for the purpose of approval habitually produces stamina and endurance. The stamina and endurance from the inner resource of doctrine must have its perfect production so that you may choose to be spiritually mature and complete, deficient in the sphere of nothing while inside the bubble. Paragraph 2, the necessity to pray with faith for the acquisition of wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any one of you is deficient of wisdom, and you are, then he must keep on asking, imperative mood 3, from the immediate source from God, who keeps on giving to all generously and without disparagement, and it shall be given to him for his advantage. But he must keep on praying, imperative mood 4. For wisdom by means of faith, doubting nothing, for the one who prays while doubting the integrity of God is like the atmospheric and oceanic forces of the sea, whose waves are constantly being agitated by various wind forces, hurling them about to and fro. For such a man must stop the ongoing process of presuming, imperative mood 5, that he will receive anything in the future from the Lord, being a double-minded man of the royal family of God, although unstable, restless, vacillating, fickle, unsettled, and unsteady in all of his ways. Paragraph 3, orientation and adjustment for the poor and rich believers, verses 9 through 11. But the poor believer must keep on celebrating, imperative mood 6, present active imperative, the verb kalkaomai, in a sphere of exaltation in his high status of royal family of God. And the rich man must keep on celebrating, imperative mood number 7, present active imperative of the verb kalkaomai, the ellipsis borrowed from verse 9. So must keep on celebrating in his grace orientation because, like the flower of grass, he and his earthly blessings will perish. The sun continuously rises past the eastern terminator with a scorching heat that withers the grass. The flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance decays. So, too, the rich man in his manner of life will fade away. Paragraph 4. Endurance, during testing the results in unalloyed happiness in time, and of course the crown of life in eternity. Verse 12, happy is the advanced believer who continues to endure testing for the purpose of approval. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised in eternity past, for those who have personal love for him. Paragraph 5. Verses 13 through 18. No one may ever assert when he is tempted, I am continuously being tempted from the ultimate source of God. For God, not tempted by evil, and he never tempts anyone. But each one is reluctantly dragged away through temptation when he is enticed by his own sin nature's lust pattern. When the lust pattern's agent provocateur copulates with free will, it creates a menage a trois, resulting in a pregnancy, and when sin gives birth, it delivers a child born dead. Stop being deceived, imperative mood 9, my beloved fellow Messianic Jews. Every good of intrinsic value act of giving and every completed gift keeps on being from above, coming down from the ultimate source of the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or alteration or the occurrence of an eclipse. Having been decreed in eternity past, he regenerated us by a spiritual birth by the word of truth, namely the gospel, for the purpose of being the first fruits of his creatures. Paragraph 6, verses 19 through 25. Know this, imperative mood number 10. My beloved brothers, everyone must keep on being swift for the purpose of hearing, slow for the purpose of talking, slow, imperative mood 11 in three phases, with reference to reacting with mental attitude anger. For the mental attitude of anger of the nobleman does not produce righteous standards or divine good from the source of God. Therefore, put away from yourself mental attitude sins that pollute the soul and all the excesses of an evil habit of mind. You must receive with humility, imperative mood 12, the implanted word, which is empowered to deliver your souls from danger. But keep on becoming, imperative mood 13, but keep on becoming doers of the implanted word and not only hearers who deceive themselves due to self-induced stupidity. For if, and it is true, anyone is a hearer of the word in the nous and not a doer from the cardia, such a person is like a nobleman who looks contemplatively at his facial features in a mirror. For once he had continued to contemplate himself intently in the mirror and departed, he has the existing result of immediately disregarding what kind of a man he habitually and regularly was. But the one who looks with earnest desire to absorb in detail the perfect law of freedom and continues to live in close proximity to it, not having become a forgetful hearer only, but a doer, this man shall acquire unalloyed happiness by the production of divine good. Paragraph 7, the deceptions of religion, examples of divine good production and isolation from Cosmos Diabolicus, verses 26 and 27. If any fearful person holds the subjective opinion that he is religiously devout and yet does not bridle his own tongue with application of resident doctrine, but deceives his own cardia, this man's devout production is worthless. Pure and unpolluted religion in the presence of our God and Father is this, namely, to comfort and assist orphans and widows in their tribulation, and the personal obligation to keep one's soul undefiled by Lucifer's cosmic domain. The expanded translation of James chapter 2, paragraph 1. The royal law and the integrity of God. This is verses 1 through 13. Fellow members of the royal family of God, imperative mood number 14. Do not exhibit, present active imperative of echo, do not exhibit the mental attitude of partiality in your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Shekinah glory. If the prophetess of three third-class conditions, a nobleman, an heir, an aristocrat, enters into eis erechomai, third-class condition, enters into the synagogue of a messianic Christian wearing golden rings on all of his fingers and dressed in a dazzling expensive outfit, and there also enters eis erechomai, third-class condition, a beggar in filthy clothes, and you kowtow to the one who is carrying his flashy multicolored mantle and toga, and you say in a pleasant voice, you sit here in this place of honor, and you say officiously to the beggar, stand there or sit down by my footstool. Apotheosis. Have all of you not been discriminating in your cardias and become judges with evil thoughts and motivations? Yes, you have. Imperative mood 15. Begin to concentrate, fellow members of the royal family of God, Has not God elected to privilege in eternity past the poor of this world, time, to be rich by the systematic accumulation of doctrine inside the evanescent divine power system as heirs of the kingdom of God, which he promised to those who love him? Peroration. But you have oppressed the poor man. Is it not the rich man who oppresses you and personally forces you before the magistrates of the courts? Do the rich not keep on blaspheming the honorable name of Christian by which you have been forever surnamed? If you apply the royal law according to the scripture, you shall unconditionally love from personal integrity those you encounter. Honorably, you must keep on doing this. If, on the other hand, you keep on showing partiality within the advanced stages of reversionism, you are committing sin, and in doing so stand convicted by the authority of the royal law as transgressors of it. For whoever perfectly obeys the whole law but yet goes astray from one of them, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," mentally or overtly, also said, "Do not commit murder mentally or overtly." For if you do not commit adultery mentally or overtly, but do commit murder mentally or overtly, you have become a violator of the law. In light of these things, imperative mood 16, keep on speaking or communicating, imperative mood 17, and keep on applying, just as those who are about to receive judgment by the law of freedom. Evaluation will be without mercy for the one not having shown mercy. Grace in action exults over the evaluation tribunal. Paragraph 2, the principle of vindication, verses 18 through 20. What advantage, my fellow members of the royal family, if anyone alleges he has faith in the Bible but keeps on not having production? Is faith alone able to evangelize his neighbor? No, it cannot. Protestants, if a couple, fellow member of the royal family of God, is destitute, being poorly clothed and without proper daily nourishment, and if a believer should say to the couple who are unbelievers, "Go in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not provide for them what is necessary for the body, what advantage is that?" So also the faith. If it does not have a working object of Bible doctrine, it keeps on being observably dead, being by itself. But someone will say, "You keep on having faith in the working object of the Word, and I will keep on having faith in the working object of my works." Imperative mood number 21. Demonstrate to me without the works, and I will demonstrate to you my faith from the source of my works. You believe that there is only one God. Do you benefit by believing this? The demons also believe and shudder with fear. But are you willing to learn, empty of doctrine, man? Faith without a working object is useless. Paragraph 3, Abraham's working objects of his faith, James 2, 21 through 26. Abraham, the progenitor of our Jewish heritage, was he not vindicated by works when his volition consulted wisdom and knowledge from the working objects of the five paragraphs of the angelic covenant, Abrahamic covenant, and from that inventory, from his own volition, offered up his only son Isaac on the altar? Yes, he was. Do you now comprehend that faith in the Abrahamic covenant was working simultaneously in coordination with his works on Mount Moriah, and out from the source of these works, faith was made complete, mature, and perfected? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham had believed God, and it was imputed to him as a credit for his account for righteousness, and he was called one whom God loves." Keep on understanding that out from the source of working objects from his soul, a person is vindicated. He is not vindicated by means of faith that functions independently of biblically acquired working objects. Similarly, has not Rahab the harlot also caused to be vindicated out from the source of working objects when she placed herself under the authority of the two spies and caused them to be sent out of Jericho to a place of safety? Yes, she was. For just as the body without the human spirit is dead, so also faith without working objects is also keeps on being dead. Expanded translation of James chapter 3, paragraph 1, illustrations of the tongue. Fellow members of the royal family of God, imperative mood 22, stop the process of many of you by assuming the office of pastor teacher, knowing that we shall take to ourselves a more severe execution of judgment. We all commit many sins. If anyone does not sin in what he says, that same person is a mature nobleman, able because of doctrine to control the entire body with his volition. Now, if we push the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we change the direction of their entire body. Imperative mood 23. Consider the example of ships, which are quite large and are propelled under the influence of fierce winds upon its sails. Yet it is guided by the positioning of a very small rudder toward whatever direction the volition of the ship's pilot determines. So in this way, the tongue is a small organ in a much larger human body, yet it keeps on arrogantly boasting exceedingly about great things. Imperative mood 24, see how a great forest is kindled by a single flame. The tongue is a fire functioning from the cosmic systems of arrogance and hatred. The tongue is placed in the structure of our anatomy, contaminating the entire body, and ignites on fire the course of life from facilitated wheel tracks of wickedness set on fire by the influence of Gehenna. Paragraph 2, rebellion of the tongue. Verses 7 and following. For the taxonomy of every species of beasts, therion, and birds, ptinon, and reptiles, herpeton, and creatures of the sea, alion, Analius is tamed, customary present passive of demadzo, to tame, subdue, or control. All of these has been named by Homo sapiens. But the tongue, nobody has the capacity to tame, subdue, or control. It is an unstable, restless, vacillating, and injurious evil full of death-dealing, serpent-ejected venom. By means of the tongue, we praise the Lord and our Father, and by means of this tongue, we keep on execrating mankind, having come into being according to the similitude of God. Words that regularly proceed from the very same mouth comes praises toward God, but also execrations toward believers. Fellow believers, these things should not occur in this manner. Does a spring supply to a fountain both fresh and bitter water? Is it possible for a fig tree to produce the fruit of an olive tree? My fellow believers, or a grapevine the fruit of a fig tree? Neither can the saltwater spring produce fresh water. Paragraph 3, vitriol of the tongue. Who among you is biblically wise with advanced understanding of doctrine? Demonstrate, imperative mood 25, his production by his honorable manner of life of rectitude and probity characterized by wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish pursuit of one's personal self-interest in your cardia stream of consciousness, do not arrogantly boast, imperative 26, and lie, 27, against the truth, aletheia. This category of wisdom is not that which finds its origin in heaven, but is common to cosmos diabolicus, human viewpoint, human good and evil, and doctrines of demons. For where envy and scheming and intrigue exists, in that place there is instability in opposition to established authority in every evil deed or action. Paragraph 4, wisdom of the tongue. Verses 17 and 18. But wisdom, which contains divine viewpoint, is from above, which keeps on being first and foremost pure, unalloyed. Then, first of all, peaceable, inner tranquility of the soul. 2, gentle, equitable, or impartial. 3, reasonable, or affable. 4, full of mercy, compassionate. 5, good fruits, divine good production. And 6, unwavering, or unbiased and impartial, without hypocrisy, with authenticity. And whose habitual harvest is the integrity of God, dikaiosune, which is consistently planted in harmony irene by those who produce harmony by means of the six composites of unalloyed wisdom. We resume our study on Wednesday evening with James chapter 4, verse 1. Father, we thank you for the privilege of reading these things from your immutable word. It is our prayer that they will be magnified in our souls for application into the hostile environment of the devil's world. We lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dismissed.